This morning, I thought I'd share with you something that turned out to be kind of fun. Again, it was something we used at St. Paul Reformation, but I think it's something that can be used in any community or any congregation. I'm going to start out by sharing a little, essentially it was kind of a temple talk that we had at the church. And then I'm going to share a little bit additional information, and then we can have some discussion. First of all, I had been visiting in the homes of many members of our congregation for the last 3 years, and many of the people I visited were seniors. And it was really a joy not only to share a portion of God's love for me, but to hear how Jesus the Christ is alive and well and working so vibrantly within the lives and families of the people I visited. And in visiting these seniors, they told me over and over again four different things. First of all, how important their religious beliefs and their congregation was to them. Second, and I was just totally amazed at this, I don't know why, but I was, women said that church circle was so important to them. Several told me that they wouldn't even go to visit their children the week of church circle. One said she refused to move to be closer to her family because it meant that she'd miss out on church circle. I was just amazed at this. This was something I didn't expect. Thirdly, we have a van service on Sunday mornings. There's a van that goes to the door and picks up people who do not have transportation to come to church. Many people no longer have cars or find it difficult to use public transportation. And so many could not worship in their home congregation without it. So they told me about that as the third thing. And the fourth thing is what we're going to talk about today. Many seniors told me, and really quite sadly, that they can no longer contribute financially to the church like they did in earlier years. They say they want to be active within their church, they want to be involved, and yet they can't get to the church regularly. They no longer have the strength to work with the church suppers. And I can understand that. And so in visiting with the seniors, I was made very vividly aware that how many of them were living alone. Maybe in apartments, but maybe they didn't even know anybody else in the apartment buildings. Some of the people were living in their own homes, but the neighborhoods had changed, and they didn't even know their neighbors. Some of them told me, kind of secretly, that sometimes they didn't get a phone call in days. Others said, oh, their kids called them regularly, but for others that just wasn't the case. And so many of the seniors were just so very, very lonely. So I got together with, I have about three women who have adopted me as a granddaughter. And I got together with them and we talked about it. And we decided that it was time to do something about these folks. And since there are over 100 people over the age of 70 in our congregation, we decided maybe we ought to do something about it. So we proposed what we called a telecare program so that seniors within our congregation could reach out to other seniors. Knowing that many of them were retired, that many lived alone, we asked that those seniors who weren't on limited phone call service from their homes would make two phone calls in the morning sometime between 8 and 10 o'clock. Maybe they'd only say, you know, hi Emma, how are you this morning? I was thinking about you and just wanted to call. Have a good day. Or, you know, it could be something short and sweet like that. Or it could be something, a regular conversation. But they would make a commitment to call every morning sometime between 8 and 10. And the important thing was that folks who wanted calls would get one every single day. It was important for the seniors to know that someone cared about them. and that they weren't forgotten just because they were old and lonely and alone. And so we asked again for people to volunteer to make these calls, to provide a bright spot in the day for someone within, in this case, our St. Paul Reformation family. And we also emphasized that this is really an important job. We also told people that if they made a call, they would also receive one, unless they chose not to. We asked them to fill out a contact card with their name and address on the top, and with their birth date and their telephone number. And then, let me go a little bit further here and I'll explain the rest of that. So I was asking people two things. If they'd be willing to make these important calls every morning, make that kind of commitment, and two, if they'd like to receive a call but didn't want to make one. And many of our seniors are on limited phone service, and so they can't afford to make the calls, but they'd certainly love to get them. So we told the seniors this was their opportunity, this is your opportunity to become involved. It's something you can do from your home. You don't have to go out to do it. You can make it from your bed if you want to, the phone calls. But it's important because somebody needs your call. And it's a way of sharing God's love one for another. And so we made this announcement one Sunday morning. And before the worship service, I said, now who would like to fill out some of these cards? And I saw a bunch of hands go up. And so I went down the center aisle and handed out cards, and we got a bunch. And the church newsletter only comes out once a month, so there was no announcement made there. The following Sunday, we handed out these cards. And within 2 weeks, actually within 8 days, we had 57 seniors signed up to make and to receive phone calls. Considering there are only 100 in the congregation over 70, and considering that many of those live in nursing homes or simply cannot get out, that was an amazing number. So then what we did was send a letter to one to the people who had volunteered to call, and another letter to people who were going to receive calls. Would you like me to read them to you? Because I think it explains a little more. I see a lot of nods. Okay. First is to the people who volunteered to make calls. Greetings. Thanks for participating in our St. Paul Reformation Senior Telecare Project. This project is important, and we want you to know your commitment to it is greatly appreciated. Each of you has been assigned to call two or three persons. Their names, addresses, and phone numbers are typed on the card enclosed with this letter. In brief, one, please make your calls daily. If you plan to be away from the phone or out of town, it would be a thoughtful gesture on your part to let the assigned person know ahead of time that you'll be gone and not available to call them. People, our seniors got very worried when they didn't receive their calls and they didn't know why. Number two, try to make your calls between 8 and 10 a.m. unless another time is more mutually convenient for you and the persons assigned to you. Three, if your assigned person does not answer in the morning, please try to call them again later in the day. And four, we encourage you to ask your people for the names and phone numbers of two persons you could contact on their behalf in an emergency. Why? If your person doesn't answer either in the morning or evening, and if they've not said they've been gone, please contact one of the emergency persons they have suggested. And here we've listed names for two people. It might be a neighbor, it might be a family member. That individual may know where the person is that day. If not, please request that they go to the person's home to check on him or her. Hopefully none of you will ever have to do this. However, if someone becomes ill or incapacitated in some way, you would be doing them a great service by making the emergency contact to see if they might need assistance. And seniors say it would be a relief for them to know that even if they, for some reason, cannot get to or answer the phone, at least they can be certain someone will come to check on them later in the day. Number five, although the conversations may be as long or short as you choose, please remember that your primary job is to share a moment of daily joy with your assigned people. Let them know you care about them and that they're important to our church. If you have questions or comments, or if you'd like to suggest the name of someone else who might like to either make or receive calls, please contact, and then I listed the name of one of the seniors. Thanks again for reaching out to one another. This is an important contribution you're making to your church. Equally as important, this call may well be the only call your person will receive each day. You may be the only person who lets them know someone is thinking about them and cares about them. Thanks for accepting the responsibility to do this important task. We really appreciate it. God bless. So that's the letter we sent to people who volunteered. There was another letter sent to the folks who were to receive calls. Now, some of these were people who wrote on the cards, "Yes, I'd like to receive a call." Others were folks that people suggested. Minerva is home all day long. She doesn't get to church, but why doesn't somebody give her a call? Or why doesn't somebody call Helen? She's at home every day, doesn't get to church. I bet she'd appreciate a call. So we sent letters to people telling them that thanking them either for volunteering or for being chosen to participate, so that they could feel special about themselves in that way. And in that letter, we explained a little further. We said, during the past several months, Dr. Barbara Lee, or me, has had the privilege of visiting in the homes of St. Paul Reformation members. Many of the seniors indicated it would lift their spirits and help them feel better if they had more contact with other people. Living alone, not being able to get together with families or friends very often, finding it difficult to get to church is not easy. And then we just went on to explain. During announcements the past two Sunday mornings, information about the project has been shared with the congregation. Many seniors have responded to our call to participate as callers, as call receivers, or as both. Those of you receiving this letter have either told us you'd appreciate a call, or someone from the church has been thinking about you and has suggested your name. So we just went on and explained further what was in that other letter. We didn't know quite what would happen, how long this would last, if it would last at all. But people were excited. One woman told me that she receives her call at 7:15 every morning, and that it is exactly what she needs to get her off to a good start. I was visiting a man from our congregation one day, an elderly gentleman who lives alone, 80-some years old. And I thought that our appointment was for 9:15 or 9:30. I was supposed to get there sometime around that time. And he met me at the door and he said, "Come in," but he was rushing. And I thought, okay. And I sat down expecting to be there for a while, and he just couldn't get settled. He just futzed and putzed around, and I started to get a little anxious. I thought, you know, am I here on the right day? Or am I here at the right time? Or, you know, what's going on? And he kept looking at his watch, and I thought, is it time for me to leave? I had no idea what was going on, and finally I looked at him and I said, excuse me, but, you know, you seem to be kind of uneasy. Am I interrupting your morning schedule? Oh, no, 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 he said, looking at his watch again. He said, I'm getting my telephone call at 9:30, and it'll be within 30 seconds that so-and-so calls. And it was. And he knew to the second when that phone call would come. He said, it's the very best part of my whole day. It's the only phone call I get, always. And he was just thrilled. But I mean, he couldn't even He couldn't even be polite. He was so excited. And of course, that just made me feel tremendously good. And boy, when he does get to church now, he always says, the first thing he does, he comes up and gives me a hug and says, I got my phone call this morning even before I came to church. And that's neat. I also visited a lady who, in fact, just the week before I came out here, who had, she's 96, I think, years old. She looks like she's 70. But she had fallen in her apartment and had broken her hip. So she had been in the hospital and then in a nursing home and was now back in her apartment until she could get into a healthcare center residence. And she called the church and asked if I would come to visit her, and so I did. And she's a, how can I put this? She's a very nice lady. She's one of the classy ones. and very formal. She's still Miss so-and-so to anybody who's younger than 96. And she said, you know, I want to ask you a question. She said, I can't make phone calls anymore because I'm on limited service. But she said, do you suppose you could find somebody to call me on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings? And I said, sure. I said, do you have any preference on who that person might be? Well, yes, she said, I'd really like Martha to call me. I said, if you talk to Martha, well, I don't dare ask her. So I said, you want me to talk to Martha? Yes, please. So we talked to Martha. I talked to Martha. And Martha now calls this lady on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. And she said, you know, there is a home health care worker who's here Monday and Wednesday and Friday. And she said, at least somebody will know I'm alive. But she said, on those other days, I don't have any family, and most of my friends are gone. And she said, I just really would feel much better. So those are a few examples. 2 days after this started, a life was saved. A woman who was just really excited about this occurring participated, and she had a stroke. About 15 minutes after her phone call was supposed to, or before, I guess, her phone call was supposed to arrive, she didn't answer the phone. She said, I lay on the floor. I knew that the phone was ringing, but I couldn't get there. She said, but I really wasn't upset. She said, I knew somebody would come for me later in the day. And in this particular case, the person assigned to call her didn't wait till afternoon to make a second call. She called one of the other folks on the list here who happened to live just a block away, and she went down and she found her on the floor. They brought her to the hospital, and they said that's what had saved her life. So although it's meant primarily just as a program to let people know that someone cares, it is also a program that provides a real valuable service in making sure that in an emergency, someone will be there to check on them. And I'm amazed, I mean, I shouldn't be as a single person, but I'm amazed at all the seniors who are alone and have no family. I don't know. Anyway, what kind of questions do you have about this? Because I think this could be started in not only in a congregation, but in a community. And it doesn't take that much work. The only problem, it's not even a problem, but the only ongoing kind of effort it takes is when people either move out of the community, you know, or die, or whatever happens to them, that other people are fit into the slots, or that the names are shifted around so that everyone continues to be able to receive calls.
Would it be possible for you to run off copies of those letters that we could sort of get an idea of how this was started?
You bet. If they will allow me to do it here. These are the originals I have right here.
Well, some of the sessions that I attended, they did have copies. I don't know if they run them all here or not, but I just wondered. I think that would be a help to get started, because that's been a successful, and the wording was beautiful.
Instead of getting them here, why don't I give you a piece of paper and a pen, and I will run them off at home and send them to you.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I had the same question, because we have a lot of widow ladies in our congregation, and that would be great.
It's wonderful, because people can contribute to the church right from their own homes and make a very important contribution. So
I've been thinking of starting something like that. In fact, I have a lady right next door to me who is not a member of the congregation, but she just begged me to come over and just talk to her, you know.
Any other kinds of questions?
Dee, you said something about the registration card, and then said you'd go back, you would take it later.
Basically, it's just a senior, it says senior contact with name, address. We put birthday on there, hoping that the contact people might take the hint and either send a card or give them a special call, a telephone number, and then it says contact persons, name and address and telephone number. Since we're in the metropolitan area, a lot of seniors live in high rises, others live in just regular apartment buildings, and we have kind of asked if they know anybody in their apartment building or their high rise apartment. I mean, that would be a convenient person to contact them, because many of their kids or families, if they have them, don't live any place close. But the other one doesn't make any difference who it is. And what we also did in sending out this information was to type up, you know, your, and I didn't have any copies here with me, but for every person making a call, we put the name of the person making the call, and then you are assigned these people, and then listed them. And for, with every person who received the other call, the other kind of letter, we sent a letter saying, you know, your name, my name, Barbara Lee up here, Martha Linder has been assigned to give you a call. You and she can make the arrangements as to the appropriate time or whatever.
Another comment. This is going to cost you, though. Would you want us to give you postage? Or, yeah. I mean, every letter you mail and every one you run off is going to cost you money.
Well, maybe we can let the church pay. I'll volunteer
that. Ask Elmer Witt about getting copies made. Yeah, because they do have facilities for making copies.
I thought they did. Okay. I thought they did.
Well, just in case, I'll get your address.
Do you determine who they are to call?
Oh, there. That's a real good point. That's a real good point. Martha is the person who helped me put this together. I didn't want to have my name as the only name on the letter, because that just, to me, didn't feel right. It should be a senior. So my adoptive grandmother, Martha, said she would put her letter on there. However, she said, I do not want to be responsible for assigning people, because I know where some of the quirky relationships are. And so, in fact, I think in this letter it says something about the one I didn't totally read to you. Let's see. Maybe. Huh. I thought in one of these letters it said something to the effect that I was the one who had made the assignments because I was new to the... It doesn't say that I'm new to the congregation, but supposedly I was ignorant about who got along well and who didn't get along well. And so I could make the assignments, and if people didn't like them, I would be the one to blame, not Martha. Although between you and me, she was the one who suggested who makes.
we did something of the sort in our congregation, but we didn't use the seniors to seniors. And we've involved in our circle. But it didn't always work out well because some of the younger ones didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be better, that we would do this through senior to senior.
Well, the seniors to seniors seemed to work well, and we decided to start out within the congregation. But then, you know, if, for instance, Martha had a friend in the high-rise, Ruth, who she knew had very few friends and no family left, and she said, let's stick Ruth in on here. So Ruth was put in on the list, and somebody else had another friend who, or acquaintance, or knew of somebody, and so she was stuck in, and so pretty soon it's getting bigger.
That was one of the thoughts that I had, because I happen to be from St. Louis, Missouri, and as I said, I just had a neighbor lady that I don't know if she's affiliated with any congregation, and that can be an evangelism project as well as a getting to know, because if you know, I happen to know that this lady has absolutely no one, and I'm living next door, and she just begs me to just come over and say hello to her. Well, you know, that would be somebody else that could give her a phone call each day or something like that.
One of the things, in fact, that's still on the blackboard next to my desk at home right now is an adoptive grandparent program within the congregation. We haven't started it yet, but we're thinking about it, and where a family would adopt a senior who has no one, or maybe they have someone, but you know, maybe they live out here in Washington and we're back in Minnesota. Somebody who can invite them for holidays, or maybe you've got leftovers. In fact, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this, but this Martha lady has come to be a real special person to me. And one night I was just going up to McDonald's for hamburgers, and I happened to be going past the high rise, and so I stopped. And I said, Martha, would you like to go out to McDonald's? And she says, I'd love it. She says, no one has ever taken me to McDonald's before. Aww. Well, to me, McDonald's is kind of the last straw. Whatever, but she loved it. And I thought, okay, who cares? Even if we're having leftovers, you know, she's welcome to come, or anybody else is welcome to come to join. And I have fun. I mean, she spoils me rotten.
The adoptive grandparent, when I was a Girl Scout leader, our Girl Scouts went to in St. Louis, it was called the Oppenheim. And I will never forget, as long as I live, what this meant to those ladies in that nursing home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'd bring a little gift, or we'd sing songs. And in that was more German community. If somebody could just sing a song in German.
Oh, that was great.
Or you'd bring a baby. Some of them hadn't seen a baby
or my dogs.
Years. Yeah.
I can share one other experience. One of the ladies who is involved here happens to be a black woman. I don't know how old she is. Late 70s. She doesn't look her age, whatever it is. But I was making regular church calls, and I arrived at 3:00 in the afternoon. I had just eaten, and I walked in, and she said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. She's absolutely alone. She doesn't have a soul in the world. And she says, I made just a little lunch. And I thought, look at me. And I walked in, and I looked at the table, and I couldn't believe it. She had 4 candles on the table. All of them happened to be cracked, and she had put them together with tape so that they would stand up straight. But she lighted those candles when we ate. She had made, I mean, she has nothing, and she had made shrimp salad with these huge shrimp. In Minnesota, this is called sacrifice. But I was her only visitor, and had been her only visitor for months. And so she wanted to treat me well and to feed me. I was stuffed when I went in there, and I kept pushing it in because it was the only possible thing I could do. But that was called, I mean, she was trying to give to someone, and I happened to be the person who was the recipient of all her love and her caring. And I'll never forget, I got home and I was just
practically sick because I had eaten. She had made a. She said she had not baked in 2 years, and she had baked an apple pie. I'm sure I got a third of the pie. I mean, it was just amazing. But the point is reaching out and caring for people who otherwise just simply don't have anyone. Or even if they do, somebody who'd like to have a little different voice on the phone.
Well, some of their folks are way out of town.
Sure. But this can be done in your congregations as well. Yes?
I was thinking when you talked about this colored lady, my mother's cousin in the high rise, she has a friend that's a colored lady, and when the colored lady had trouble with her legs and she couldn't, so she'd go up every day and put her elastic stockings on.
Sure.
But the colored lady is such a good cook, So she insists that every so often she comes up and eats a meal with her.
Yeah, and that's terrific.
You know, that brings me back. It's a little bit of a different personal story, but it's in a Bible study, and this really hit home with me. I'm not that old yet that I can't take care of myself, but I am a person that really needs to be needed.
Yes.
And when all my husband has died and the children are all gone and there's not something that I can't do for somebody else, that really is hard for me. And in this Bible study, the minister related back to that everybody, even if you're 100 years old, you need to be needed.
You bet.
And so if you can just do one little thing for somebody else, if it's even only stuffing yourself for shrimp, that meant a really lot to that lady. To her, that was a candlelight dinner with a guest that she probably had done many,
yes,
many years in her younger life.
Yes, and I sent her a thank you note, and she says, I'm going to keep that thank you note. She says, I haven't had a letter either for a long time. And she says, that letter was so special to me, and all it was a, you know, just a simple thank you note. A lot of people don't want to let you know that they're hurting or that they're lonely, and the last thing they would do is to say, hey, will you please call? I don't get calls. But if we can just say, hey, now maybe I know Helen is home alone, and I know Minerva is home alone, and I know all these other people are there. Maybe I can just give them a call sometime. I can't make phone calls alone anymore. And so I can't do those things. But what I am trying to do is give other people the boost to do it, yeah.
Are these people who make a call mostly older citizens or?
No, well,
younger?
We call them seniors, but in our church, well, we've got two categories for seniors. We have seniors or anybody over 55, and then there are the older seniors who are, you know, older, whatever that means. But just anyone is certainly welcome to participate. But we just thought it would be good for seniors to reach out to each other. And many times they have more in common.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this as a project for one of the circles? You think it would work?
Well, yeah, I think it would work, but I don't know why men can't participate. I saw this man that I visited, and we had a real funny experience. At first we thought that men should call men and women should call women. Well, that was a bunch of bunk.
even if it's
a married man or a married woman, you don't really care. It's another voice. It's another person who cares. We have a man whose wife is in a nursing home, and he was assigned to two people to call. One was a woman and one was a man, and we kind of wondered about that, if that was smart or not smart or what. And both of them just love it. So it's just reaching out and caring and saying, you know, hey, how are you today? Are you going to the senior citizens' SAC lunch and dance this afternoon, or are you, you know, whatever. Yeah.
How is the telephone contact in a nursing home? If a member of a congregation is in the nursing home, I've wondered about, having worked in a nursing home myself, they don't all have telephone contact.
No, and that's a problem. In some of the, some of our people have phones in their rooms, and then they're on the list and they're able to make the calls just like anybody else. And it really gives them a good feeling to be able to do that. Those, we have many from our congregation who are in nursing homes and wouldn't know if they received a call or not.
That's true.
And the phone is down the hall. And unfortunately, those we can't do anything about. But
probably a personal contact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the older ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
We don't have the telephone contact daily in our church, but we have a friendly visitor program where people of all ages are signed up to be visitors, and they're asked to make 2 contacts a month. But there too, we have all ages. We've got a number of people connected with one of our local hospitals, nurses and technicians and different ones who have been really interested in being friendly visitors.
That's terrific.
And again, we have one woman who was a friendly visitor until she got into a retirement home, and then she still was friendly visitor, not just the owner. She'd go and visit the others in her own facility and report back to church. And that's another thing that's helped. I'm on church staff, and it's so helpful to get these reports back to the staff, so the staff get some information.
That's right.
We had a case recently where a man was very ill, and he lived with his retarded son. And they both were needy people, and they had a friendly visitor. And that friendly visitor was so concerned about that son. When the father was in the hospital, he made contacts with social services at the hospital and with the Department of Social Services. He just followed through. And that's the kind of thing that's really
this
wonderful.
Thing can just mushroom. But the main thing is it's so easy in a congregation to say, I feel overburdened. I have the youth group, I have this, I have this, I have that. Got to visit new members, have to visit, whatever. We don't have to visit anybody. We do it because we want to. And when we realize that, for instance, in our case, the seniors, they want to feel important. And they are important. I mean, that's the fact of it all. And this is one way they can serve. Maybe they're not outstanding on their feet serving church dinners. But for heaven's sakes, these phone calls are at least as important, if not more important, than doing the kind of work they've done for years.
Yeah, well, the person who's making the call, that's the one that really is helping a lot, too, because they could be bedridden and have a phone by their bed and still be able to do something. And that's what I say is important. I'm reaching that age already where that's very important for
you
me
bet.
If I can do something for somebody else.
You bet. You bet. And likewise, you receive
that's right.
from
you
doing
receive
it.
From that double, triple, double fold.
Sure, sure. So, yes.
I have called an 83-year-old lady for the last 2 years. She doesn't want to be called in the morning because she sleeps late. And so she's at 8 o'clock at night, and she sits and waits for the call.
You bet.
But then another thing, she's all alone, and she had a heart bypass, and the doctor said she had to walk. She had no one to walk with her, and so I started walking with her every day. First it was a half a block, and then a block. Now she's wearing me out.
Okay, do any of you have any ideas how you can make something like this a reality in your own either congregation or community? Do any of you feel the oomph to get out and do something like that when you get home?
I do. I was looking for something like this when I came here.
Well, good.
That's why I asked for the letter.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'd be happy to give you copies of them.
Terrific. I'm going to try because, as I said, we have a lot of widow ladies.
Perfect.
And I know they don't get calls because very few get to come to church.
Yep.
So that may be something. So I want a copy.
And my friend Martha's senior citizen residence, her senior citizen residence is sort of in the, not sort of, it is, in the midst of a very Jewish community. And she said there are so many of the, not because they're Jewish, but what I'm trying to say is it's out beyond the realm, the confines of our congregation. She has made so many contacts within the high rise of people who never, ever, ever hear from anyone. And she was telling me, just she insisted I come visit her the day before I left to come here. And she said, you know, yesterday I was really feeling down. She said, I just hurt all over and I was emotionally down. And she said, so I went and sat down on the bench down by the front door. And she says, everybody who came in said hello and some would sit down and talk for a few minutes. And she says, by the time I came upstairs, she says, I felt really pretty good. And so just getting out beyond yourself really helps. Yeah.
Well, this is beyond the telephoning again, but when you mention that, it reminds me of two things that are happening in two high-rises in Sioux Falls. And I think the telephoning sometimes can lead you to other things, or the friendly visitor thing.
Yes,
can
yes.
Thing. In the one high-rise, one of the pastors has been going over to give communion. But one of the women got the idea it'd be much nicer if they got together. And that's absolutely true. Communion is better when we are together anyway. So she now gathers the people from our congregation in that high rise together, plus others. You know, every time he goes, he says, here's somebody else that came today. And so once a month, they're having this communion service together and feeling a part of the church.
That's marvelous.
The other high rise wanted me to come over one day just to have coffee with them. Well, we got talking about, wouldn't it be nice to have a Bible study together? So once a month in that high rise, we're having a Bible study together, and then they bring others in. In that particular high rise, most of them are still able to get to church for communion, but not for a lot of other things. So they like the Bible study. But I think we can get, we've been talking with Susan and so on about being co-creators. I think one thing can lead to another, and we get more ideas, more creative things can come out once we start making these contacts.
You bet. It grows like hopsy.
Yes. Our pastor has asked just recently that we hire a person half time to minister to the elderly, and we can't afford it. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, why can't we minister to each other?
Terrific.
And this sounds really great.
Terrific.
Go home and talk.
It is, it's exciting. It is really exciting. One of our ladies moved to Maple Plain, which is maybe, I don't know, 40 miles, 45 miles from our location in the Twin Cities. And she said, you know, she really likes being there. She's got a nice place, and her daughter lives not far away. But she said, oh, she says, I miss Circle. She says, I miss not hearing from my friends. And it's long distance, and many folks can't afford to make the long distance calls. And she's really hurting. She was very active in this telecare project.
Yeah, we have a widowed person's organization in Sioux Falls, and that's pretty much the same way. We have telephone contact. It's women or men or women that have been widowed for at least 2 years are a support group for the newly widowed.
You know, you brought up the male thing too. It's so important that there be both men and women involved in this.
But that's the thing. We question that when we first started making contacts, should a woman call a man? But we do. The men are included too.
You bet. You bet.
We love you women.
I assume there was a conversation going on. Go ahead.
The other thing that the lady said in back of me about the Bible class that struck a thought with me is that many women or men, particularly when they get older, do not want to go out at night, and they cannot drive, and if they're can't get to church Bible classes and things, that would be a wonderful opportunity to start a Bible class in places for the people that don't, even if they're able to go out. A lot of people don't want to go out and drive at night. And you could do it during the morning or afternoon.
Sure, sure. And the other thing is a lot of the seniors have more time to do the Bible study, to prepare a Bible study, and can do it for one another. You know, you don't have to have all kinds of seminary training to do that.
In reference, so this is a little bit off of the last topic. One of your first ones was that you said about a church being important. And this one lady here talked about administering to the senior citizen. And this is one of the problems that I'm having right now. I don't want to leave where I'm living, which happens to be in Minneapolis, to be with my family who is in Missouri, because I do not want to leave my congregation who really ministers to me. But doesn't this say something then about our congregations?
Unfortunately, yes. Or fortunately, I don't know, depending on where you're coming from.
You know, so often I think the families feel they're doing their loved one a favor to move them across several states to be with the family. And it doesn't always work out.
That's correct. I am really struggling with that.
Yes, I'm sure.
It's important to be with the family, but still it's important to be with your old friends, too.
And the church, well, I originally was from Missouri, but the church that I attend now has never done for me of any other congregation that I've ever attended.
That's right. And to just be in familiar surroundings is sometimes one of the most important, one of the most important things. Anybody else have anything here? We haven't taken the whole period of time, but have you gotten the kind of information you need? Or that's helpful?
When do you think that we would be able to get those printouts if you get them?
Well, if I get them here, I know a lot of you are leaving, so
yes,
I can try and...
Tomorrow.
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not going home. I won't be home until October 1st.
It would be nice to have them.
But before that,
if you're able to get them done, can you have an announcement at supper time?
Sure.
That your materials will be...
Sure.
Somewhere.
Sure. Sure.
The one comment, I want to thank you for bringing up that number one thing on there, because I really was feeling that there was something wrong with me, that I'm struggling so between family and congregation where I don't have any family, and it's many miles apart. And so I just retired. I'm 66, and I can't make up my mind whether
that's
I want to go where my family is or where I want to stay where I'm very secure in the congregation.
That's a very, very normal kind of feeling. I'll share one other thing with you, which is very personal to me. I had a grandmother a grandmother by marriage, who was 98 years old and living in the same home she brought up her family in. Actually, it was the home in which she was born. And they were just, she's been there all her life. Even after they were married, but they remained in the same home and they were there forever. And I remember talking to her shortly before she died, and I said, Grandma, isn't it nice that you can still be in the home that you've, you know, been in all your life? And she took my hand like this and she said, Barbara, she says, I'll tell you something if you don't tell another soul in the family. And I said, what is that? She says, I wish I could be in a senior citizen's residence, because she said, even though, you know, one part of the family, one daughter and family lived across the street and a son and family lived next door, she says, maybe they come over once a day, each of them. But she said, I don't have any contact with people my own age or with people of my own interests. She said, I would much rather be in a nursing home or health care center. But she says, I don't dare tell anybody. And she says, don't you dare. And I had never, ever thought of it in those terms before.
Well, you remarked when you visited people that that was one of the things they said, their religious, their Christian beliefs, and their congregation.
That's the first thing we mentioned. Yes.
I had a mother like that, that I live in California and my mother lived in Illinois. And when she got old, I wanted her to come out. She wouldn't. And I understand now that I'm older. But my other sister lived in Florida. Well, so then we put her in a nursing home and she loved it because she was with women her own age. And she lived to 94.
That's right. And never had that perspective before until Grandma said, don't you dare tell them so. But this is really what I would have liked to do.
I mean, sometimes you feel guilty putting your mother in a nursing home, but my mother loved it. And then when I would go out there for vacation and take her to my brother's house to take care of her. She couldn't wait till she got back to the nursing home.
That's right.
And I guess sometimes that's hurtful to your children. I guess that's where I am right now. My children can't understand.
You know, when they get to be your age,
they'll understand.
Now I understand my mother.
That's right. And I just happened to be fortunate to get that lesson early, a little bit early.
But then, Barbara, on the other hand, there are some senior citizens that you can't hardly jar them loose from their own home.
That's fine. But not all of us are alike.
That's right.
And that's the same way with every aspect of our lives. So, any other comments, questions?
Thank you very much, Barbara. Enjoy it.
Very likely there are probably some programs out there, especially in the larger cities, that are state or federally funded. I know there are in Texas. And if people run into problems with financing or staffing and so forth, well, they could contact their department on aging in their own states and maybe get financial assistance.
I think one of the things we've found in our community is that there is not much money for this kind of real, genuine caring or to support that. And so the seniors themselves just said, hey, Barbara, would you help us? We just really need to do something. And so we just took off and did it and kind of punted.
There is a lot of community projects, but personally me, I want that to come from my congregation or I go to some of the other ones too, but that does not fulfill me like it does from my own congregation or the people that I've been with, you know.
We're going to talk on Thursday or Friday, and I know many of you aren't going to be here, but about the Ministry of Touch. One of the things that just amazes me, I'm teased unmercifully, I think, because they call me, well, they say I have a hug line every Sunday morning. And some people don't like to be touched or say they don't, but I'll tell you, they won't go home until we've had our hug. And, you know, some people will, I'm standing there in my all, but I've been preaching or something, and I standing there to shake hands, and all of a sudden the arms go around, and so it's just hug with everybody who goes right on through. And people tease me about it, but they say it's really made a difference. Some people say, I haven't had, you know, I'm old, I live alone, there's nobody to hug me. There's nobody who will touch me. And people are used to that. They've been married for years. Granted, it's not the same, but it is somebody reaching out to another human being and caring. I'm single. I can use those hugs just as much as those other people. And so it's not a selfish, I mean, it is a selfish thing almost to give them. Because we need that kind of caring and touch and concern.
That's another thing that's important with the congregation. I'm in Edina, Minnesota, and I do not have any children or any, my husband is not living. And I was taught in a German conservative background that, you know, you don't really hug or touch anybody unless it's your family. But the Sunday before I left to go to Missouri, when the minister at the door said to me, Norma, is this your last Sunday here? And he just reached out his arms and gave me a great big hug. And you just don't know what that meant to me.
You bet.
Right? The whole congregation, you know.
Sure. Sure. I visited a senior citizen when I first started the seminary. I went with he's a retired part-time pastor, and he went out to visit this elderly woman. And he said, you just follow along behind, which is what most peon students do, I guess. And so I looked at him as he went in, and this lady stood there, opened the door, very, very elderly woman. And she looked at him, and she got this incredible smile on her face, and she said, oh, Pastor. And they had this incredible bear hug, and then she looked over at his shoulder at me, and she smiled, and she winked, and she said, you know, this is the only man who's hugged me in the last 20 years. But every time she goes, they have this huge hug, and she says, and his wife even knows about it. But I just think, what kind of a ministry to be able to reach out and physically show you care. Neat. Yeah.
You know, my husband is an usher at church, and he hugs everybody. And the young kids need hugs, too.
You bet.
He has young children. They call him Grandpa.
Sure.
But they don't have a grandpa, so they think of him as a grandpa.
Sure.
And, he hugs them, too. So like you say, everybody does need it.
I'll tell you, we are about at that time, but we've gone through a whole bunch of different things, not only the Telecare project. But I hope it's been helpful for you, and I hope when you get home you can get something going for yourselves. I'll try and check on this one. Thank you.